Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
June 13th, 2006, a Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, controlling your shutter. That's right, we're going to dig right into the shutter control today. I know we spend a lot of time talking about aperture and aperture priority and all that, and I sort of feel like the shutter speed control is getting overlooked. So what I want to do is I'm just going to review the three basic modes real quick. I know all of you know them, but it's always just kind of a good starting point. And then I want to drill into the shutter speed control itself. And I have three scenarios that I think are worthy of going into shutter priority. And I'm going to talk about those. And then I'm also going to, after we do that, we'll kind of have a little fun with our camera for a bit. And then I want to talk a little bit about turning in your slideshows, those of you that are working on them. And by the looks of the entry forms that have come in recently, quite a few of you are working on them because the 15th is, that's it. That's the cutoff. That's the end of the deal. And then we evaluate them and put the showcase together. So I just got to touch on that before we close out the show today. But let's get into shutter speeds right now. So, you know, you have three basic automatic modes in your camera. You have program mode, which sets both the aperture and the shutter speed for you. Very handy when you just want to focus on taking the pictures, getting the compositions, working quickly. Program mode is great. In fact, program mode is my default setting that I leave my camera on. And then, of course, when I want to do something special, I go into one of the other modes. But I always start in program mode because if you pick up the camera and you want to shoot quickly, you know, your chances of getting a good shot or a good exposure anyway are pretty darn, you know, good. Okay, now, of course, we've talked about aperture priority mode, which I like a lot. And I think we, as photographers, we talk about aperture priority because it's the mode where we set the f-stop, and then the camera takes care of the corresponding shutter speed for us so that we get a good exposure. And we're thinking f-stop a lot because of depth of field. You control depth of field with the aperture, and so, you know, we kind of end up there a lot. Now, shutter priority, however, now this is kind of fun. There's a lot to do here, and this is where we set the shutter speed. And then the camera sets the corresponding aperture for us so that we get a good exposure. And this is really kind of a happening place to be, especially in three particular situations. One is when you're shooting moving water. And I'll start with moving water. The second, action photography. And the third, which a lot of people don't really realize, and I've talked a little bit about before, flash photography. Shutter priority is can really help you in flash photography. So let's start right in with water. And I'm thinking about water because I took a hike yesterday. The weather is really nice right now in Northern California. It's warm, but it's not too warm. And there's water flowing and you know, things are still green. It's really fabulous. So I took this really nice hike yesterday. And I had to work my tail off going up this mountain and realize that I'm not in the greatest hiking shape right now, which I got to take care of that really quick because I don't like dying on that first part of the trip. But, you know, so I got up the hill and then I dropped down into this canyon where there's lots of water and little waterfalls and things like that. Really pretty. And the ferns, oh my gosh, the ferns were just beautiful. They were lush and green and vibrant, sometimes covering whole hillsides going down to the water. And some redwood trees and other types of trees in there. It was really a nice place. I actually even recorded some of the running water sounds because I figured that it'd come in handy for a slideshow or something up the road. But the running water made me think, you know, There are a couple different ways to capture water. One is you can freeze water in motion so that you actually see the little drops and stuff suspended in midair. And that's kind of a neat effect. And then at the other extreme is where water is just flowing and you get sort of this very ethereal kind of flow. And that's a lovely effect too. And I like both. But what I really like knowing is how to make sure that I get what I want when I take the picture. And when you're shooting water, shutter priority is really a great tool to use. It's a great mode to go to. So if you want, for example, that real flowing kind of, you know, thing and real dreamy and ethereal, that's when you go to shutter priority, which, by the way, sometimes on some of your cameras might be indicated by TV time value. If it's not indicated, if you don't see shutter priority right off the bat, then look for that. And of course, you could always, as a last effort, you could always like look in your owner's manual. Heaven forbid, sort of like a guy asking for directions at a gas station, right? I'll do it if I have to, but don't make me do it. I'd rather figure it out, drive around circles for an hour. Rather play with all the dials on my camera first before I actually look at the owner's manual to see where that shutter priority control is. Anyway, let's just assume for the sake of this lesson that you know where it is and you can find it. So you go there, and to get really, really what I think smooth, you know, flow to your running water shots, I like about a second exposure. And if I can get 2 seconds, all the better. Now, sometimes that's not easy because if there's a lot of light, then a 2 second exposure is a, you know, pretty long exposure. At any rate, neither of these settings, 1 second or 2 second, are what I call handheld settings, right? So you need to either have a tripod with you, or you need to steady your camera on a log or a rock, or, you know, something like that. And then I would use the self timer if you don't have a remote release with you. Self timer works fine because, you know, even if it's a 10 second self timer, some cameras have both a 2 second and a 10 second option. That 2 second option is really handy on things like this. So you don't have to wait 10 seconds before the camera actually, you know, trips the shutter. So if you have 2 seconds, that's really nice. But either way, on a log or on a tripod, set your camera up. And then if you have a polarizer with you, I think these come in really handy because they, you know, among all the other things that they do, they reduce the amount of light coming in through the lens, which means you get even, you know, a longer shutter speed, or your camera can handle a longer shutter speed. And then go ahead and set your camera in shutter priority to start out at 1 second. And do a test by, you know, pressing the shutter down halfway to see what your meter reading is. And check what your f-stop is. Now, a lot of lenses will go up to f22 or higher. And so, like, if you're seeing, you know, let's say f11 or f16, something like that, you know you're in good shape, right? Because you know that for that shutter speed that you just set, the camera can set a good corresponding f-stop. Now, what will happen if it's too bright for this situation? Then, let's say at 1 second, and let's say that your aperture only goes stops down to f22. If it's too bright, what will happen, it'll flash, right? That 22 will flash. And that's your camera telling you that, hey, you know what? You need to back off the shutter a little bit because I can't stop down the aperture enough to give you a 1 second exposure. Now, this is a case where if you do have a polarizer, put it on. If you already have one on, then you know, make sure that your ISO isn't set too high, right? If you have ISO 400, you don't want that for a flowing water shot. Set it down to 100 or 50 or however low you can go. And play around until, you know, you can get a setting that your camera likes. Now, if you have to, you can back off to a half a second and see if your camera likes that a little bit better. So play around until, you know, you get a setting where your camera accepts or is happy with aperture setting or the shutter speed setting, so that the aperture setting isn't flashing. And then take a shot. Now, you can get pretty good flowing water at a half a second. I like it better at one. And for, you know, really crazy times, try 2 seconds and see what you get. And it's pretty exciting stuff. I mean, these shots are really nice, because what's fun is that the rocks and stuff that are in the shot are perfectly crisp, right? Because you get your camera stabilized and you focused it properly and everything, so the rocks are nice and sharp and crisp. And then you have like this flowing water, this angel hair, coming down through them and around them. Really, really gorgeous shot. And you got to try it. You got to try it this summer. You got to go out and find a place where you can play with flowing water and set your camera to shutter priority, 1 or 2 seconds or whatever you can get away with. Bring a polarizing filter. If you have 2 polarizing filters, bring 2 of them and stick 2 of them on there to cut the light down even more, and give it a whirl. These are the kind of shots that your friends look at, because they don't have these kinds of shots, right? Unless they're serious photographers, and going, wow, man, you're good. That's really neat stuff. You know, because that's the kind of stuff they see on calendars, you know, not at other people's snapshots. Now, the other direction, of course, is if you want to stop the water droplets in midair and stuff, and you want to kind of freeze water, and then you go just the opposite direction. That's when you want a fast shutter speed, and you usually want at least 1/500th or 1/1000th of a second. Obviously, you don't have to worry about a tripod for these shots. You can definitely hand hold them. And you don't necessarily need a polarizing filter, although I have to tell you, polarizing filters are neat for these kind of shots, because they take out some of the glare and stuff and really make those droplets jump out better. So if you can get away with if you have enough light, if it's bright, you can get away with using your polarizing filter with a fast shutter speed. That's really cool. And let's say that you do want to use your polarizing filter, but it slows down the shutter speed a little, you know, too much. It doesn't allow you to get what you want. Then you can always raise your ISO up a little bit too. And this is a situation where you might go the other way. To say you set your shutter speed on 1/2000th of a second. You really want to stop those water droplets in midair. And you look at your camera readout, and the aperture setting then is flashing at 3.5, which is your maximum aperture. Then that tells you that if it's flashing, then that tells you you got to back off a little bit, maybe go to 1/1000th of a second. So you have to kind of play around with these settings. Pay attention to what your camera readout is telling you, and then when you get things kind of where you think they're good, then take a few shots and look at them on your LCD monitor. But the main thing to remember is that long shutter speeds, 1 or 2 seconds, that gives you that flowy effect. And then really short exposures, like 1/1000th or 1/2000th, will give you those frozen droplets in midair. So that's one time that shutter priority comes in really handy. Now, another time is action photography. And this, of course, is when you want to freeze action. And, outdoors, baseball here in the States is a great sport during the summer. And soccer is played here year-round. We play volleyball, swimming, track and field. There's all sorts of, auto racing is a big deal. There's all sorts of times when that fast when shutter speed is very important to freeze action. And I just sort of did a photographer slip there, right? Because, yes, if you want to freeze action, then fast shutter speed is really the way to go. It's like freezing, those droplets in midair. So you like 1/500th of a second, 1/1000th of a second, somewhere in there. That will help you freeze the action so that you don't get a lot of motion blur around the hands or you know, with the subject. Now, one trick that comes in really handy with a fast shutter speed is a technique that we call panning. And I don't know if you've tried panning, but it's pretty exciting stuff. So you would still use a nice fast shutter speed because, you know, basically you do want to freeze the motion of the subject. And let's say that it's a bicyclist that's going to be coming around, and, you know, to the side of you and then going on. So as you know, so what you do is you actually follow the cyclist with your camera while you're shooting. Okay, so you actually pan, and you try to pan, you try to move the camera at the same speed that the object is moving, in this case a bicyclist. And what will happen is that while you take the picture, if you're panning about the same speed as a cyclist, then that subject will, you know, you'll be able to freeze the motion on that subject, but the background will have kind of a blurry effect to it, you know, because the relationships, the physics of this is that, you know, the background in the distance is different than, you know, what you're actually moving the same speed as, which is your subject. And this gets pretty interesting if you slow the shutter speed down a little bit. So let's say that normally when you're shooting cyclists, you know, you're shooting at, you know, 1/1000th of a second. So if you try slowing the shutter speed down to, let's say, 1/125th of a second, and pan as the cyclist comes by, then if you pan well, your cyclist will look pretty good. You'll have a little bit of motion blur here and there, but not, it shouldn't be too bad. But then you'll have this really kind of cool, interesting background from the panning effect. So, you know, and again, this is where, you know, controlling your shutter comes in really handy, because if you're not panning, you know, you'll probably have a higher shutter speed. And if you are panning, you're going to have maybe a little bit slower shutter speed, so you can create that effect. It's really cool stuff. So sports photography or action photography is another time where it's probably wise to take control of your shutter to get the effect that you want. And again, of course, the theme is just like with water, is that the slower the shutter speed, the more motion you're going to show, the more, you know, through blurring and so forth. And the faster the shutter, the more crisp and frozen the objects will be. Now, the third time, another area that I want to talk about where shutter comes in handy is for flash photography. Because the way that flash photography works is that, when you know, the aperture setting is what controls the exposure of your subject within flash range. However, then, for instance, when you're at a party or a wedding reception or something, a lot of times you have a lot of activity in the background that's outside of the flash range. So the flash isn't reaching something that's, you know, 20 feet away in a big reception hall. And this is where shutter helps you control that, because a longer shutter speed, something like around a 15th of a second or even a 30th of a second, will allow you to capture more of that information in the background outside of flash range. And this is one of the reasons why when you're just in program mode with your flash, the camera, generally speaking, will automatically set the shutter speed to 1/60th of a second. Some of them go to 1/125th, but generally speaking, 1/60th of a second is what we consider standard flash synchronization, and it works fine. You know, there's no real problem there. But however, you know, it doesn't allow you to control, you know, what's going on with the environment outside of flash range. There, at 1/60th of a second, you're not going to get a whole lot. And generally speaking, your background goes dark; it gets a little too dark. So you know, you can go to shutter priority mode and set your flash sync on, you know, 1/15th of a second, for example, and suddenly that background will open up a lot. Now, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll go into manual mode and set both the aperture and the shutter speed manually. So, you know, and I've told you my magic settings before. I like a 1/30th of a second at f5.6 as a starting point. But you can also use shutter priority mode and just go ahead and set it at a 1/30th of a second or a 1/15th of a second if you have a good steady hand. And the camera will set the right aperture for you so that you get a good exposure on the subject that's within flash range. It's another way to go about it, and it's something that you might want to play around with. Let's get to a little bit of what's going on with the digital story itself. So June 15th is the end of the entry period for the slideshow showcase, and of course this is sponsored by Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X. And they make the fabulous Photo Magico, which is the software that I'm using for my presentation. And I can see from the entry forms a fair amount of you are using it too. And some of you have even taken advantage of the $10 off Photo Magico by using the digital story in the coupon field there so that you can get a discount when you order it. And if you're not clear on that, you can just, look up. I try to put that little blurb at the end of all my, slideshow tips. So it's all over the site. And, if you want to review anything about slideshow tips or the showcase or anything like that, all you have to do is just go to the Digital Story site and up in the search box, just enter slideshow, and you'll get some nice results of all the stuff that I've been talking about around the slideshow showcase and everything that you'll ever want to know. Now, one thing that I did post, I think I posted it last week or a few days ago, I'm not exactly sure, but I did post a piece on how to, move large files around. And I was thinking, when I wrote this, it's mainly for those of you that have your slideshow done and you want to get it to me. And so I sort of, walked through all the different ways to do that. Posting it on your .Mac account. If you have a .Mac account, you can put it in the public folder and then just send, the name of your .Mac account, and I can go grab it out of the public folder. I think a really good way to do it is put it in your movies folder on your .Mac account, and then just go to the .Mac homepage, and where you can build a little web page to support your movie and display it. And I like that because you can put some text and some information around it, and it's really easy for other people to view it that way because they can view it right there in their browser. And this is probably the best way if you have a .Mac account to enter your slideshow in the showcase, because then you can put information, around your slideshow that talks a little bit about what's going on there. Of course, your name is very visible. You have links to your photos and stuff if you have other shots on your .Mac homepage and so forth. And what I'll do is I'll just link directly to that page where your slideshow is being displayed, and it's a lot better way for you to have airtime, because what we're doing is we're taking people from the digital story site and dropping them right onto your .Mac site. And if you have a regular website that you run yourself, if you're web savvy, of course you can post it on your regular website, on your non-.Mac website. Send me that link, and then I'll use that for people to look at. The reason, this is a cool way to go because, a big part of what we're doing here is, giving your work airtime. We're using the slideshow as kind of a hook because, A, it's a great way to show off what you're doing because you've actually sat down and you've thought about the order of the pictures and you're adding some music and possibly some voiceover to this. So it's really, shining a beautiful light onto your work. So the slideshow itself is really a great promotional tool. But then there's the, sort of the ancillary aspects to this, which is if your slideshow is on a page on your site, whether Stop Mac or otherwise, then the person's already there looking at your slideshow. And if they like what they see, then they can nose around and find out more stuff about you. So there's all sorts of, you know, really kind of cool facets to this. And it's something that you might want to think about just a little bit before you make your final decision. And then, of course, another way you can do it is just have the slideshow sitting on a server somewhere and then where I can go grab it. And I list a couple services. I think one's called DropSend, and another one I think is called YouSendIt. I list them in this article that I put on the digital story about how to transfer big files. And so, you know, you upload it to the service. It's free. And then I get an email with a link where I can go download it. And so, you know, that's another way to go. And then, you know, we'll just post it on the digital story site. But you have options, and you might want to think it through. If you have a .Mac account, that's a really good way to go. And if you have your own personal website, that's another good way to go. And the other ways will work just fine. So, you know, kind of pick what's best for you. Make sure, though, that you get me the slideshow, or you make the slideshow available to me by June 15th, because that's a hard cutoff. You know, we're not going any longer than that. And believe me, we've got lots of great content. So there would be no reason to extend it even if I wanted to, which I'm not. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have everything together and ready to show off, I believe, by June 27th. And that's when, you know, we'll make the biggest splash, and we'll have a press release go out. And we're going to have, you know, all sorts of fun with this. So, good times. And then what we'll do for July is then we'll go back to regular photo assignment, you know, with still pictures and so forth. We'll have a theme, and, you know, we'll kind of get back into our regular groove while we think about, you know, the next exciting thing that we're going to do together. So, and I have seen some of the slideshows that have been turned in already. And I have to tell you, I really have enjoyed them. And I got a lot more coming in now that I'm going to be looking at over the next few days here. They're good. I mean, they're really good. They're really enjoyable. The ones I've seen so far, I can tell you've put some thought and care into, and I really appreciate that. And I think everyone that watches them is going to too. So there we are with that. And if you have any last-minute questions about any of this, you know, you can just drop an email to questions@thedigitalstory.com. I'll get back to you as soon as I can because, you know, this is a really big deal for me too. All right. Well, I think that will do it for this week. Shutter priority mode, give it a whirl. If you're working on the slideshow, get that turned in by June 15th. Man, we're going to have lots of stuff on the site here over the next few weeks. So make sure you keep tuning in. Go to thedigitalstory.com and see what's happening there. And whatever you do, just make sure, you know, participate here with this virtual camera club. And we're all going to become better photographers than we are right now. And that's cool. All right. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for joining me. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.